From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast, your rainbow-tinted backstage pass to the stories, events, and voices that make this desert shine with pride. This week, we're splashing into summer with a sizzling tidal wave weekend recap and interviews from across the queer creative spectrum. First up, we sit down with Jordan and Patrick from Bear Pad Art. You've seen their work, whether it's cuddly t-shirts of bears together, some cheeky art at CCBC, or even a glimpse of their inflatable bear mascot bobbing poolside. Bear Pad's been serving up sexy, silly, and celebratory bear art for years, and we finally caught up with them at Tidal Wave to talk about creativity, connection, and community cuddles. Then we bring it home with Luke Killo, with the Arizona Roadrunners, who's talking LGBTQ+ softball from Phoenix to the Gay Softball World Series. He shares how this league transformed his life, built him a chosen family, and helped put Phoenix on the national stage. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just love a good underdog story, this one's for you. And finally, we chat with Calvin from Plant Kink, the artist turning sobriety, concrete, and leather straps into kinky planters that make people smile. From his club kid roots to his community-powered comeback, Calvin's work is bold, beautiful, and unapologetically queer. And hey, our Kesha ticket giveaway is still going strong for one more week. And in the closing segment, we'll reveal the winner of this week's Diamondback Pride Night tickets, so stick around. Huge thanks to Live Nation for the Kesha tickets and to Oliver Electric for supporting our Pride Night giveaway. But before we hit play on those conversations, let's talk about Tidal Wave. We came, we splashed, we got infused. Thursday, we arrived, checked in, and got our first dip in the pool. Bear soup was gently simmering, and we were all ready for a weekend of soaking, laughing, and maybe just a little bit of mischief. We stopped by Miss Behaven's pool party, always a joy, and ended our night at Tool Shed's Underwear Night, where we finally got to meet Renee Hubbard in person, Mr. IML 2025, and what a sweetheart. We're definitely bringing him on the show soon. Friday, the pool turned up the heat, and the crowd rolled in thick and furry. Then came Bong Bingo, hosted by Mother Chucka and our beloved Berna Cross, with infused Arnold Palmers, snow cones, hotboxing bingo, and a whole lot of laughs. Shout out to Atomic Buds in Cat City, because yes, we won some weed. In karaoke, well, we meant to make it, but Bong Bingo had other plans. So we ended the night at Club 541, where several bucket list items were quietly, or not so quietly, checked off. Saturday, bear soup was in full boil, and y'all, it was delicious. The pool was packed, the vibe was wild, and there was so much making out, fondling, flirting, and fur-on-fur fun. If you didn't get groped to the deep end, were you even really there? It was playful, it was passionate, and it was everything these weekends are meant to be. We made up for our missed karaoke and finally got our songs in before gathering poolside for the screening of Maxi Luau. It was fun, inspiring, and had the crowd absolutely loving it. People were already asking, when do we get more? Then came Heatwave as CCBC. The lights were glowing, the crowd was thick, and the energy was pure desert magic. From poolside mingling to slingside mischief, it was the perfect way to wrap up a Saturday night in Palm Springs. Sunday brought healing vibes with a deeply needed massage from Kilted Paws, who may have uncovered the root of some lingering pain. Fingers crossed for some real relief in the future. We wrap things up with Casa Oliver Sunday Funday at the Loverboy Pool Party. One last splash with friends before heading home to the desert we love. And one more big splash of love to Anthony Hand, creator of Maxi Luau. Getting to spend time with him was an honor. And if you haven't seen the full-length animated movie and origin story yet, check it out at maxi.com. It's bold, queer, heroic, and completely original. Now while I decompress and rehydrate, let's pass the mic to Brian, who's got your hot picks for what's happening this week in Phoenix.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast, where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Gay PHXers, and happy Pride Month. It's a season of sequins, sun, and showing up exactly as you are. Whether you're waving a flag, rocking a mesh tank top, or just holding space for yourself and others, we see you, we love you, and we're doing this together. Coming to you from a special edition of Gay PHX, coming to you from the poolside chaos of Tidal Wave in Palm Springs, this is your very special edition of Brian's Hot 3, where we spotlight the events lighting up the Phoenix scene that you are absolutely don't want to miss. So grab a drink, touch up your glitter, and let's dive into what's hot. June 27th, National HIV Testing Day. Know your status, protect your community. On National HIV Testing Day, we're reminded that taking charge of your health is an act of self-love and community care. Getting tested is quick, confidential, and empowers you to make informed choices. It's also a powerful way to break stigma and show up for those who are around you. Whether it's your first time or part of your regular routine, now's the perfect moment to get tested and encourage your friends to do the same, because when we all know our status, we all thrive. Visit HIV.gov to find a testing site near you or ask your local LGBTQ+ center about free testing options. Knowledge is power, pride is action. Get tested, stay proud. Friday, June 27th at 8 o'clock, Ride with Pride at Cobalt Bar. It's the Diamondbacks Pride Night and the Queens are taking the field. Join Cobalt for a pregame happy hour at 4 p.m., then hop aboard the drag bus for a round-trip party shuttle to Chase Field. Sponsored by Fresca Mix, this 21-plus event is packed with glam, giggles, and baseball realness. Tickets are $150 for the full ride or $89 for the drag bus pass. Don't snooze, this will sell out. Saturday, June 28th, is Stonewall Day, commemoration at 1 in 10 and throughout the community, honor the legacy of Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, and all the fierce fighters who stood up at Stonewall. While we party with pride, we remember that our joy is political and our presence is powerful. Want to do more? Tap into 1 in 10's resources and programming supporting queer youth all month long. Sunday, June 29th, 10 a.m., Bottled Bombshells Drag Brunch at the Wine Girls in Scottsdale. Hosted by Enchanting Paris Amour, McKenzie, this monthly brunch is a whole vibe. Featuring Maya McKenzie and Christopher Inez Onyx, Mr. Gay America 2024, plus beats by DJ Acronym and cocktails served with a wink. Food, fabness, and a fierce queens await. This one's a monthly must. Tickets online now. And that's your Brian's Hot 3 for the week. Whether you're strutting in sequins, sipping poolside, or serving looks at your poker table, remember, pride is more than a month. It's a movement, and baby, you are the moment. Don't forget to swing by also gayphx.com to check our brand new photo viewing spot where pictures are never edited. And the bears are always in season. Expect sass, smiles, and maybe a little skin. Well, maybe a lot of skin. Anyways, here we are from Tidal Wave in Palm Springs. I'm Brian, about to get wet, and that's hot. See you later.
Want all the details? Head over to gayphx.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
More stories, more voices, more pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
You are about to embark on a hero's journey. You will do something you never thought you could do. Destiny awaits, and you cannot escape it!
Very funny, Valentina. You can just say take out the trash next time.
Honey, in this house, we're all your friends. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
I'm Mama Moo Moo. This is my place. Every drag performer is unique.
Thank you, thank you. I love you, boys.
The name's Dinah. Dinabolical.
Cry, you miserable queens.
Igor?
Showtime.
When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow. But when you put that love to use, you become a hero. When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow. You become
Who are you?
The name's Maxi LaWow.
Maxi LaWow!
Girl, I'm a super queen.
Pride isn't just a weekend.
It's a way of life.
Celebrate all month long
on the Gay PHX Podcast.
Another voice, another vibe, another reason we love this community.
From the vendor hall to the bear scene, you know the name, and if you don't, you're about to. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Jordan and Patrick from Bear Pad. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining me here out at Tidal Wave. It's our first time doing something remote. Very cool. Thank you for being flexible as we set this up.
Yeah, of course.
So let's get started at the top. How did Bear Pad come to life?
It started with me, I want to say, maybe even 15, 16 years ago. I had a really pretty boring job as a graphic designer in New York State. And I had this sort of corner of the office that was somewhat private. And then this really cute guy over the cubicle from me that kind of turned me on all the time. And so I ended up drawing a lot of stuff of him and like things inspired by him between doing work, which was really sparse state job. Mm. And I posted that stuff online. And eventually people were like, I have t-shirts of this. And then I started making t-shirts and then it just never stopped. But it was mostly just responding to people asking for things and not really taking a lot of risks. Just, do you have this? No, but I can make it now. And then now 15 years later, and after dating this guy, Jordan made the business grow like exponentially, and each help and collaborative partner, we've just been able to do so much more in the last 4 or 5 years.
Awesome. And did your inspiration know that you were drawing pictures of him?
Yeah. Like when I told everyone I was like leaving the job, we went on this like nature hike the last day and messed around in the woods and then realized we could have been doing that the entire 8 years I was at that job. But it was just this kind of thing where we both were really into each other, but because of the job we were trying to like keep it chill at the office, I guess.
You wanted to be professional and
yeah. But there was this thing called the milking room right next to us that was meant for like pregnant women, and there was nobody in the office that was having a kid at the time, so it was like completely empty and private and in the corner of the office, so we could have been messing around for 8 years.
So you could have been using the milking room for different milking purposes.
Yeah, but because of that, that like horniness built up into what became like this art practice. So I'm
creativity.
I guess thankful edging.
So we've seen you at events like IBC and Tidal Wave. What keeps you coming back to these kind of events?
Do you want to answer that, Beth?
I can do my best. Yeah. We're focusing on the bear scene. So the most of it, we end up going to bear events because that's where our stuff is received. And we made a lot of connections in Palm Springs, working with West through the Western Exposure events at CCBC.
Oh, we love West.
And because of that, so we've been coming to IBC. Actually, this was our first year at IBC, and this is our second time at Tidal Wave. But it just feels like when there's a bear event in Palm Springs, it's easy for us to make the day trip down.
Right.
Yeah, 8.5 hours.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
It
takes an entire day to drive down.
Yeah.
And so at IBC, we saw your mascot bear. Uh-huh. And I saw him recently in the Tom Goss video. How did that happen? What made that connection?
Well, actually, we were talking about doing pool inflatables, mm-hmm. and we were researching having them made, but the problem with them is you have to make a huge amount of them in order to make it to get any of them made.
Right, to get the volume down.
Yeah,
like about thousands of them.
Yeah, and we don't have that kind of money. But while I was researching it, I found out that these types of inflatables were sort of one-offs and made a lot more sense. And we were doing a lot of work that was more sort of decorations for events, but that was like wooden cutouts that we were painting. Mm. So these like large scale pieces of art, which are really satisfying to do, but a pain in the ass to haul around and install and take down. They're like 8 feet tall. And so I was talking to Patrick about these inflatables and.
Yeah, I've always liked 3D stuff. I used to like sculpt in clay as a kid and stuff, but I had never really taken the art practice like past two-dimensional stuff. And so far the work been very flat, but always like bubbly and round feeling. And so I decided to experiment with that based on what Jordan was researching. And again, it was this thing where somebody suggested something to me and I'm like, oh, I've never done that before, but I will see what happens. But now inflatables are becoming our thing. We just made this 30-foot tall one that received like more attention than anything else we've ever posted about in terms of like social media reach or whatever. But right. Yeah, we might just be the inflatable guys if we keep this up, because it's very powerful. It's like you're creating this like monument that just appears in 5 minutes, or in case of the 30-foot tall one, about an hour it takes to get up there. Yeah, but yeah, you're just like creating this monumental sculpture basically, and then disappears in a few.
So how do you design for something like that versus a t-shirt?
Yeah, we were both going to UCSC, UC Santa Cruz, for this experimental media master's program. Met in the Santa Cruz area, and Jordan was at UCSC, and was like, oh, how about a master's? And I gave up on education at some point, but then this program seemed really chill, and so we had this sort of lab to experiment with, and things I learned was to 3D model, and I'd always wanted to do that, and so I learned a 3D model. And then our friend George, who's much better than us, but Big Smith 3D is amazing. He would like iron out the rough edges, because I can like what's called block something out in 3D.
Yep.
But it takes a lot more to actually make it like a cohesive model that have like void, all sorts of stuff going on.
Missing vertices.
Yeah, yeah. Other,
yeah, I know the terms.
Yeah, yeah. But so we make one of those, and then we've worked with the factory 3 times in a row, I think, the same one. And we just have this working relationship with them. And it's this back and forth over the course of a month, refining the design based on the limitations of what inflatables can do, which is like distort things in a weird way. So it's like a lot of compromises of what actually matters and what's possible.
And then do you also have to think of how like air gets into a space too?
Yeah.
To fill it versus.
Yeah. Yeah. Defining kind of the entry point of the air and like where that makes sense and stuff. But yeah, putting this 30-foot tall thing up is like at least a 4-person job, because you just are like holding down this like sees Thanksgiving Day parade float as it's like rising up, and it's like terrifying. It was amazing. Like we've only been able to inflate it once. So huge, and there's not a lot of venues that can hold such a thing.
So is it a promotional piece? Is it a that you attract attention?
We hope it'll be like a kind of rental situation.
Okay.
Because it did cost a lot. We got a grant to pay for it, but we'd like to make money on the labor of putting it up and taking it down, because it's like a considerable kind of effort.
So where's a place that we could see this, or when is it debut? Has it debuted? Is it just on social media yet?
Yeah, we did it at Bend, Oregon Pride, weirdly enough. It was like for another event, but because of tariffs and all sorts of stuff related to what's going on politically right now, got really caught up in customs hell for a while. Oh. I totally missed the event that it was for. So eventually, like another event, like a couple months later, was like, oh, you could have it here. And so we finally inflated it like in this really cramped outdoor kind of club parking lot. So like barely able to fit, but like we finally saw it in Oregon for a night, and it was great.
Awesome. Very cool.
But it's coming up. We're probably going to have it. We're in talks to have it at some street fairs, but definitely going to be at Lazy Bear.
Okay.
Yeah. And pretty sure it's at a party related to Dory Alley or Folsom.
Yeah. Folsom. Folsom for sure. We're still waiting to hear from Dory.
Awesome. We just learned about Lazy Bear, so we're seeing if we can make it out to that one, but we're definitely making it out to Folsom, so we hope to see it then.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it sounds like a lot of your designs and ideas came directly from the community. Is that where they all came from? After you started, then it's all been like art on demand kind of thing? Someone's like, hey, I have this idea, and then you create it?
It's weird. Like the creative process for me, I don't usually think about like how people are going to look at this as much. It's more just something that I feel like I enjoy, and then it's a happy accident that other people do. And it's a lot of like intuition and vibes. It's not as calculated. And yeah, it's like a lot of people say this, but it's the right place and the right time. Like there weren't as many people doing this particular kind of bear art when I was starting to do it. And I like at Tumblr, and then went on to Instagram and stuff, and now a bunch of people are doing it, but I guess we've been doing it for longer and more consistent. So
you're the originator kind of thing.
Not
one of the cores.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah, I've just been like distant for a very long time. And so people go, they're like, oh, I used to follow you on Tumblr and then whatever. So I just have this history on the internet. Yeah, it's cool. But it's been so like lazy feeling until recently and just accumulated followers like very slowly. We have a good number, but it took...
But that's how you get loyal followers and not just like bots or not just
the
casual. That's how you get people that, you know, want to see your stuff on the regular. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And because our community and the day and age that we're in right now, we don't get a lot of support from other people. So we need to support each other. So what's it mean to you to have the community come support you and visit you at these events and purchase your things?
Yeah, it's great. Like for me, the vending is like one of the... can be one of the best experiences related to this practice because we like get to actually see and talk to people. And Jordan jokes a lot that like the main reason we do this is so people can take off their shirts in our booth so we can like look at their chubby hairy bellies. Hey,
benefits are benefits. It just happens.
Yeah, we're just like, try anything on, please. Yes, please. Just take off your all your clothes.
We insist.
Okay. Yeah, it's really rewarding to see this sort of like vision that we have of like artistic aesthetic, but also just the type of bodies that we appreciate, and seeing people really, it really resonates with people to be able to see themselves like bigger bodies, especially men, are generally seen as something that you either laugh at or you make fun of. And so to see bigger bodies just in like playful sexual poses in a way that isn't necessarily funny, it's just, oh, it's a celebration of this and what we are. And these events are mostly bigger bodied people having sex with each other. And so to be able to see that celebrated, especially in like a way where you can buy something, it legitimizes their lifestyle and makes them feel more positive, what makes them happy. And that's a real way to see.
Yeah. And one of the things we focus on is affection, which is like also rare in erotic art, where it's more geared towards just sex and not the sort of, yeah, like cozy, cuddly vibes. So I think the stuff we do is like a little bit unique in that too. And it's just like, the sort of radical affection, which I think the bear community tends to lean towards also.
It's interesting because like I look at yours and for those listening, he's wearing a shirt where a bunch of bears are laying together all cuddling, and it's freaking adorable. And it's awesome because I've seen this in my livelihood. And so it's awesome to see art reflect that. It's what helps normalize it for each other. Yeah. That's why we love your work, and it's amazing stuff. I also, one of my most favorite things that you do is is it considered acid wash? Harness t-shirt?
Oh, yeah, it's like bleach.
Yeah, it's bleach, but I didn't know if that's what they called it anymore. Yeah. People change terms on me.
Yeah, people usually call it bleach dyeing. It's not actually a dye process, it's just bleach. So it like removes the dye, but yeah, almost all of our stuff, this shirt as well, even though it's not super intense white color, we used a lighter concentration of bleach to make it feel like softer.
Yeah, I love the way you've got color in here. Did you add color to this, or did you bleach out color from this?
Just bleached out
color. You bleached out color from this. Okay.
Yeah, I used to do tie-dye, and one of my early collaborations with someone, like I didn't actually start printing my own shirts. A company that my friend Reed Blue in LA was working on called Big Boy Vintage, he wanted a t-shirt from me, and so he like produced and sold them. And when I went over to his house, he was like doing this bleach process, and I had only ever tried tie-dye before, which is like really laborious and expensive. And bleach has a really similar vibe to it, and it's so much easier and so much cheaper and like more fun to like get this immediate result that you can see transforming in front of your eyes. And you do actually get like a lot of color variation because the bleach sort of leaves whatever the densest dye in the garment is. So if like pink was the primary dye, you would get the shock of pink in a darker purple t-shirt, like really surprising color reveals.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Yeah. When we've tried to play around with it, we're like, I was not expecting orange.
Yeah.
It's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, and sometimes it's really bad. You just have to figure it out. There's this curse we have sometimes where it's, we're getting this garment that we think is going to reveal like pink or something, that's like this weird a moldy color, and we're like, ew.
That's not gonna work.
Yeah, but most of the time it's just like a really surprising color.
Awesome. And so to someone who's never been to something like IBC or Tidal Wave, How would you describe that to them?
Our events are interesting because there's a schedule. You pay a certain amount of money, you stay in a hotel, and there's events happening all weekend. But the events aren't really the draw. The draw is the other people who are there. And so they're unique in that it's about making new friends and spending time with new friends, usually having sex, but not necessarily.
That's what men do when they get together.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, it's about the camaraderie.
Yeah, for sure.
Sex is happenstance. Yes, of course. Thing over there, but it is. It's the connection that we made. Again, this is our third year at Tidal Wave. So we worked first year in Vegas, the second year here, and then this is our third year here. The first pool party that I went to was IBC 5 years ago, and then that's what got me addicted. And that's why I was like, I need to spread the word and tell people that they're missing out. They think it's just, oh, it's not for me because they're not going to accept me, which is totally wrong. That's why people come here to me, because you are accepted. And like I had someone say, we were just hugging, hanging out and touching each other, and he's back home, I don't get any of this. And I'm like, this made me sad. And that's why we need to have things like this. That's why more people need to know about things like this, that you can come and be accepted.
Yeah, definitely. Like we were saying earlier, the radical affection side of it is a big part of what brings us to these things. The chance to like hug our friends and be in a pool with a bunch of people and like kiss and touch. And yeah, there's this, a lot of people say that bear events are like, they have a body standard and that they can be very clicky. And that hasn't been my experience for the most part.
Right.
Generally, people are really open to whatever your body type is and are really friendly. And some people are going to be a little clicky.
Right. There's some human nature to that. But I'll say that for the most part, because I'm not a bear, I'm not big, I'm not real hairy, I have some hair. But I love bears, and they accepted me, and so it was great. That's why at first, because I was intimidated, because I'm like, I'm not a bear. Are they going to like me? Will I be welcome in the fold? And I was, and that's why I want to encourage other people that, especially if they feel lonely or sad, these are the places where you can connect and find community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you again for coming here. Finally, how do people follow BearPad? How do they purchase your stuff? How do they support you?
Yeah, we're probably most active on Instagram, but all our social media is just at BearPadArt, and our website, which is a portfolio type of thing. It's just a record of most of the events that we've done. Like, we do these huge installations, and they're like hard to map on an Instagram post. So we have a bunch of photos and a little description on the website of each thing we've done, and that's BearPad.art. So yeah.
And we got a link to our shop on our website.
Yeah.
We do our best to keep it stocked, but we're doing a lot of events, so it's hard to maintain an online shop and work these events.
Understood. Yeah. It's a lot of inventory to carry, stock, count, keep track of. I totally get it. Excellent. Guys, thank you so very much for doing this. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come do this before you go open up the vendor hall, and I hope you sell a lot of stuff this weekend.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX Podcast.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about injectable HIV meds. Let's talk about long-acting HIV medications. It's a total game changer for both prevention and treatment. Instead of taking pills every day to prevent or treat HIV, long-acting options like injectable PrEP or injectable HIV treatment can be given once every 1 or 2 months, some even less often. That means fewer daily reminders, more privacy, and more freedom. But they're not for everyone. You'll need to visit a provider regularly for your shots, and missing an appointment can raise your risk of resistance. We don't want that. Some people also experience side effects like injection site pain or fatigue. The good news? These meds are safe, effective, and helping more people stay undetectable or HIV-free without that daily pill. Talk to a healthcare provider to see if long-acting options are right for you. Let's live and love stigma-free of HIV.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
You've heard the crack of the bat, you've felt the roar of the crowd, but today you're about to meet one of the hearts behind the hustle. From the dugouts of the Cactus City Softball Leagues to the national spotlight at the Gay Softball World Series, one team has stepped up and swung big for Phoenix. It's the Arizona Roadrunners. And behind every great team is a story. And today, you're about to hear it firsthand. So grab your glove, lean in close, because joining us now at the rainbow-tinted microphone is Arizona Roadrunner Luke Killo.
Howdy, Luke, and welcome to the podcast.
Howdy.
What got you started in softball?
Let's see. I played baseball in high school and gave it up before college as I was going into my career, and always loved the game. And I moved from Kansas back here to Arizona, where I originally grew up. And as I was coming out away from some of my other roots, discovered there was a gay softball league here in town and just had to be a part of it. Ended up sending an email to the league. At the time, I didn't know anybody. Just sent them an email and said, hey, I'm this guy. This is what I do. I'd like to get involved. And one of the coaches reached back out to me and said, I don't know anything about you or how good you are, but we'll take a chance on you. You can come on to our team. And that was 2017, I believe. So I'm about 8 years in and love every second of it.
Oh, wow. 8 years. That's amazing. And how many different teams are there in the league?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So don't quote me on that.
Okay.
We have one A team, Charlotte Phoenix Toros. We have one B team. That's our Arizona Roadrunners, Newtown Arizona Roadrunners. They are our sponsor. And I'll tell you, we love them to that. We'll get more to that later, I have no doubt. But and then in the C division, there are three teams, just five. The D division, this is where it gets a little dicey for me. I think there are probably about six teams in the D division, and then I want to say 9 or 10 teams in the E division. So you're getting over 20 plus teams. I want to say there's 21 teams or something in Phoenix total.
Wow. And what's the vibe like on the team?
Oh, man, our team is, so we're fortunate. The upper division for gay softball specifically, there are generally fewer players in one location. So you get to recruit around the country a little bit. And I'll tell you, the first thing we recruit for in our team is character. I want players that are going to be good teammates, good people, and good ball players as well. And then on top of it, our vibe is fun, man. We joke around with each other a lot. We have a great time. But if you were an outsider looking in, a lot of people would describe our vibe as positivity. And that's where we thrive and where we have the most fun. And yeah, that's our feel.
And what was it like representing Phoenix on the national stage like that?
Oh, man, it's so much fun, especially to represent Phoenix well. Do you mind if I get into Naga Cup a little bit?
Go ahead.
Is that something we do? Okay.
Yeah.
So we had the opportunity. This is my second year managing it.
Okay.
And we had the opportunity this year to go to Memphis, Tennessee for the 2025 Naga Cup. And Naga Cup is all the A and B teams from around the country are invited. And I want to say there's about 10 A teams and probably 25 B teams. They're all invited to come to this. And then there's our Legends division as well. And all the A and B teams play against each other. So you got about the top 20 to 30 teams from the country playing against each other. And we got the opportunity to take our team down there. And we finished, unfortunately, we got rained out.
Oh, no.
Sunday. We didn't get to finish our game. Oh, it was so terrible, the rain. We had a blast anyway, and we played so well. I'm so proud of our guys and our team, not just for the way they played, but for the way they bonded as a group and for their team cohesion and for how everybody just supported each other and then again represented Phoenix so well. So we ended up finishing second in the B division overall out of, I'm going to say about 16 B teams, maybe 15. And then third overall in the tournament, including all the A teams. So we tied for third out of 21 teams and just had an absolute blast. And it was really an incredible time. Something we'll remember for a long time and use to build on as we go forward.
And rain and people from Phoenix, how was that like for the team? The sky is falling.
First, we had to figure out what it was. So we're sitting and playing Team Florida on Sunday. And they're an A team, and they're used to rain, obviously, right?
Sure, they have humidity.
And they're all
there.
Sitting in the, oh my gosh, yeah. And they're all sitting there in the dugouts, and they're telling me, they're like, this game is done, like, we're getting rained out from here forward. And all my guys from Phoenix are like, no, it's going to stop, and we're going to keep playing, and we're going to win this thing, and we're all excited. About 3 hours later, they kept the whole tournament due to rain. The Florida guys were right, they had their experience with the rain, and what's going on.
So how does the team prepare for something like the Naga Cup?
It's really interesting. When I talk about the upper division being the A and B teams, it is really common for guys to have players from all over the country. So our team currently has a bunch of players from Phoenix, but we also have players from Florida, Texas, Kentucky. I'm going to miss some, and they're going to be upset with me. Oh, God. Where else do we have players? Kind of spot for the moment, but we have players from all over the country. And so really what we do here is locally, we play together. And like we play in a Phoenix Rec League where we're playing against not gay teams, but straight teams. And last year was the first time we didn't win the championship in our league. Like the past five seasons, we've crushed it every year. And I think we got a little complacent, had some guys injured, couldn't play. But we use that as our training ground. And then again, for Cactus City softball, we played the Phoenix Toros, the A team. We played them basically 10 times a year. Those are all our games. So we had some teams from San Francisco come in this year. We actually had the San Francisco Fury, which is San Francisco's A team, come in. And they were missing some players too, but we run rolled them the first game and then beat them the second game. And not to talk bad about it, because those guys are my friends and they're good people, but it was nice to send an A team from San Francisco home and two losses from our B team.
Raises the bar. You like that kind of challenge, right?
Oh, man, that's it. We really do want to play the best every time, and that really makes us better. We're really confident coming into Houston for the Gay Softball World Series in September that we're going to bring the B division title home for Phoenix. I think for the first time in a very long time, as far as I've been in the league, Phoenix has never won a B title or really ever been close. So we're really confident and really excited about it.
So explain more about that and when that's happening.
Okay, so the Gay Softball World Series is the single largest single sport LGBT event in the world. So last year in Minnesota, it drew, I couldn't tell you the amount of teams, but I want to say it's over 250 teams from all around the country, from the A division all the way down to the E division.
What?
And we all gather together. So it's the, oh, it's crazy. It is crazy. Minneapolis, we drew.
And how many people on a team?
7,000. Well, and a team will typically have anywhere from 12 players up to, like our roster has 17 on it. And then you'll have husbands and spouses and boyfriends that all come along, or we have some extra folks on our team that help coach and manage the book and do other things. Our team actually brings 20 people when we come in fully stocked. You're talking 250 teams plus all their friends and family and all these
things. So you're talking like 5,000 people?
Minneapolis had a
rough
math. Minneapolis drew 7,000. Yeah, 7,000. Now think about Minneapolis isn't the size of Phoenix. Oh, I'm sorry. Last year was Las Vegas. We don't count Las Vegas because Las Vegas is so big and it's just a party town.
5,000 is nothing in Vegas. Dollar or people wise.
Seriously. Normally you come into a small town and like 7,000 almost come in at once. The place is turned upside down. They don't know what's happening. We love it. But Vegas is just, who are these people? We don't know. They're just normal.
Right. They're just the weirdos from down south.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the Gay Softball World Series. It'll be taking place in Houston, Texas this year, September 22nd through the 27th, I believe. And again, you will have the top 200 to 300 teams from all over the country, divisions A all the way through E, competing. And to get into the Gay Softball World Series, you actually have to compete within your member city league and qualify as one of the top two teams for a bid to go. So it's a really exclusive and elite event. And it is one of the most fun experiences of my life. You come to this, and our guys, we have some guys on our team that have played at the highest level. We have a guy that's played in the minor league baseball system and coached in the major league baseball system. We have another guy that played for USA Baseball a few years back. And so these are elite level players, and they come to the Gay Softball World Series, and all of us just go, there's nothing like this. It's just the most positive and fun environment you've ever been around.
Well, I haven't even realized what I stepped my toe into until you started talking about some of these numbers and stuff. So since you joined the league, what is something that surprised you most about this whole experience?
There's so much to it. This league is really, I'll get a little sentimental here, but it's really changed my life. I was closeted. I spent most of my life in church and in the fire service. And this was an opportunity for me to be myself and to gain acceptance for who I was. And that's something I have never found somewhere else. And then my first World Series was in Columbus, Ohio. And Columbus, Ohio has a sports park called Burnliner. And they have something like 37 softball fields all in one complex. So think of all 250 teams in one place. And you'll play your games. And then when you're done, you're going to go watch your friends play on another field. And you can walk to it. And you can walk and get beer and food all in the same area. And I had just never experienced anything in my life like this. And I was instantly hooked. And ultimately, the thing that surprised me the most about this league, Keck City Softball League, and NAGA, or IPS now, which is International Pride Softball, is that this has become my family. My best friends have come from this league. The people that I hang out with when I'm not at work have come from this league. And it's really, truly changed my life and given me just such a positive outlet for sports and competition, as well as camaraderie and friendship.
On that note, what do you hope that younger players or first timers see when they watch you compete and go out there and play?
So when I first started and went to my first World Series, so I played in the league for a couple of years in C-ball, and because the upper divisions are, we only play 2 weekends in Phoenix. We just play 1 week in the early in season. We play 5 games. We play 5 games later in season. Playing C-ball, I didn't even know an upper division that existed. And I went to Columbus and I watched a game where our B team, which I'd never even seen, was playing Friday night under the lights. And there were probably 700 people watching the game, cheering it on. And it was so exciting. It was a nail biter down to the wire. Unfortunately, Phoenix lost. And I was like, I want to do this. And so what I hope when younger players watch us play, because it is incredible ball, is that they're encouraged that they can take the next step and put in the work to be better and to improve their softball skills and enjoyment for the game as a whole.
And so if someone's thinking, I could never do that, what do you want to say to them?
Oh, you can absolutely do it. That's for sure. I didn't get bumped up to B division the next year. It actually, I put in a lot of work and time into getting better. I watched some of these players play. And one of the things we talked about in the upper division is like cutting the ball. You're not elevating it for an out every time or hitting a home run every time. Cutting the ball on a line or your place hitting. And me and one of my best friends from the league, we would go 2 to 3 times a week and we would practice batting practice together. And I got better and better to where he and I actually were playing B ball at one point. I got moved from C up to B. And then our B team dissolved for a year. And he and I both went up and played with Charlie Phoenix Toros, which is the best team in the nation, for the last 6 years, bar none. And so we got to play on the best team in the country out of all. There's almost, let's speak about numbers. I want to say there are over 1,700 teams in all of International Pride Softball.
Wow.
And over, I want to say it's close to 20,000 members worldwide. And so we got to play on the best team out of 1,700 teams. And just learn a lot and be encouraged of what we could do with our game and develop our skill. And it was really, it was a lot of fun. So I guess I would say to newcomers that, hey, look, you can do it. You just got to put in the work and find some good people and some good friends that will come alongside you and put in the work with you. And then just watch your game develop and how much you enjoy it just really increase.
What does it mean to you and your teammates when you step onto the field, knowing that you're a part of this whole international family?
It's interesting that it's called iPride Softball, in short, International Pride Softball, because when my team steps on the field, that's the sense that we get a sense of pride. One, we get a sense of pride for playing an absolutely elite level. And then two, we get a sense of pride in helping to create a safe place for the LGBT community within sport, and to also dispel some of the misnomers that, hey, because you're gay, you're not athletic, or all gay people act this way or do this. And really, we just go out there, we have fun, and we do it at a really high level and really represent the entire, what we feel is the LGBT community in sports and softball, and do it with a sense of positivity and pride. So that's what we get as we step on.
And how does being a part of an LGBTQ plus sports league help shape your friendships and your confidence?
As far as friendships, I mean, I have developed friends from all over the country at this point that I had no idea I would ever do. we come to one of these tournaments, and whether it's a smaller local tournament or one of the national bigger tournaments, and what it does for your self-confidence, hugs are good for everybody. You go around to one of these tournaments and everybody smiling and giving you a hug, and you're sharing about your lives. And again, it's just the most positive environment I've ever been in my entire life. So friendships, you just build friendships all over the country. It's really, it's unexpected. I had no idea that this would develop. And then confident. One, sports is, in general, is just great for building character in life. But when you do it as a team and you're constantly lifting each other up, it builds your confidence as a person as well as a player. And then the other thing is just the hugs. They are amazing. They're good for everybody. You go around to these events, you're getting hugs from everybody. It never ends. And they're telling you about their lives and you're sharing about your life. And it builds your confidence because this is a safe place where I can be myself and I'm fully accepted. And not just accepted, but loved. And it's really been transformational for me. And I'd encourage it if you're not a softball player, maybe you're a darts guy or bowling or flag football, whatever it is, find a community. If you're not out there, it doesn't have to be sports, but get involved with the LGBTQ plus community because it really is vibrant, full and rich of life, and really has amazing things to offer for everybody.
And that's exactly the whole point of this podcast, is to shine that light so that people that want to learn can see all the different things that we've got going on, because there's so much. I've learned so much today. It's been incredible. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I do want to ask you, what is your favorite off-field of moment from the Naga trip?
Oh, favorite off-field moment. There's a lot. I have to say it is one of our newest allies. This is he's an incredible player. So every team is allowed to have three allies on it. And the other have to be LGBTQ of their own admission. There's no test about this, but
right. Some of the players I'd like to help determine the qualifications.
Exactly. You tell me your position and I guarantee you I got a guy that'll test it out one way or the other. So one of our allies that just came on with our team this year, this was a young man that played for USA Baseball when he was a little bit younger, phenomenal athlete. And he's just a little bit more reserved as he comes on, right? Because he's testing the space out and learning where he fits and not sure how open he can be. And he started to really open up and share about his life. And one of my favorite events was we're taking pictures, posing right before a game. And so we're not like on the field technically. And he's doing this pose where his legs are spread and he's pointing. And one of our other like smaller players dives between his legs and just like poses underneath. And he's posing underneath, and we snapped this picture of my super straight masculine ally with my other guy posing beneath his legs. It's a great picture. I have to get his permission first, but I'm going to try and put it onto our Instagram and our Facebook page, just share some of the pictures that we have. But yeah, that was one of those moments where it just made all of us smile and crack up, and he really started opening up for us. It was great.
That's awesome. So what's next?
So we're going to try and make a tournament. Now, this is not a gay softball tournament up in Flagstaff coming up end of July. We're going to use this as another, you know, prep tournament for the Gay Softball World Series. But we'll be up in Flagstaff, Arizona, 6th, and competing against some of the absolute best talent in Arizona. So these will be conference players. These are straight players that we're playing against that a lot of them actually get paid to play baseball or softball. A bat's named after, sponsored by Louisville, Mike and Dean Marini, all of the
big name
brands within softball. Yeah, so we're going to play against them as prep for the Gay Softball World Series. And then ultimately, our next big event is the Gay Softball World Series in Houston. And eventually, we need to do a little fundraising for our team because there are travel expenses associated with these tournaments, uniforms, all that stuff. And at some point in the next 2 months, we will probably do a darts tournament over at Newtown Saloon in Phoenix, which is our sponsor bar. And if you haven't heard of it or haven't been there, go check it out. It's off of Van Buren and... You have to help Van Buren, and I just go off the 143.
I was like, it's over there by the post office. I'm there every Monday for Pocino. So the car knows where to go.
I saw you there last night. I was going to say hi. I saw you there last night. You probably saw us come in.
Yeah, I usually see you guys come in.
Softball guys are coming in.
Yeah, I love it when you guys come in. That's why I always harass you. I need you on the podcast.
Hey, I'm Dave. Okay. But we'll do a fundraiser there at our sponsor bar, Newtown Saloon. And they're just the absolute best. For anybody that's listening that hasn't been in there, they are. I walk in that bar and it feels like home to me. and it's a completely safe place, and it's, you know, it's got license plates from all over, music, and just good people. And so we'll do a darts tournament there as a little fundraiser, and we'll have that information posted on probably our Facebook page and Instagram soon.
Lastly, how can folks support the Roadrunners and follow your journey or connect with you on social media?
So we do fundraisers through social media as there are costs associated with travel and with having a team. And we'll do a darts tournament in Newcastle alone. And other ways, we'll do fundraisers. Like sometimes we do Super Bowl squares for football, or we'll do auctions. And you can find all that information. Our Facebook handle is Roadrunners AZ. And then our Instagram is going to be Roadrunners_AZ on Instagram. And it's not super robust right now because I'm old and I'm still building these things out. One of the cool things is we'll be streaming games. So when we go to Houston for the Gay Softball World Series, we'll have our phone up and we'll be streaming live to our Facebook feed. So folks that want to follow along can. And if you want to help us fundraise to support our travel cost, you can do that. And then the last thing is, we always encourage everybody to come and hang out at Newtown Saloon. We love that place. We love the owners, Michael and Bill. They are just the sweetest guys in the world. And I've done a great job of creating a place that's safe and feels like home for the LGBTQ+ community.
Agreed. We love them too. Luke, thank you so very much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
This is what community sounds like.
Hey everyone, I'm Delos.
And I'm Apollo, and we're bringing you this week's puppy play events happening around the Phoenix area. On Tuesday, join Pup Maya and the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom as they present a short screening of Woof, a barkumentary followed by a discussion on kink, consent, and how to play safe. This ticketed event, hosted by Lookout at Ripple Phoenix, starts at 6 p.m.
Later Tuesday evening, come see Pups and Friends compete in the Rising Star Talent Show at Stacy's at Melrose, hosted by the charismatic Mia Adams, starting at 8 p.m.
On Thursday night, catch Cirque du Soleil at Cobalt Phoenix, hosted by Trey, featuring an incredibly talented rotating weekly cast starting at 8 p.m.
Also on Thursday night, check out the Zoomies Club, which meets weekly at The Rock Phoenix at 8 p.m., hosted by Pup Stitch. Zoomies Club is outdoors and weather permitting. Sniff the linked telegram for updates, bring a water bottle, and stay hydrated.
To start your weekend adventures, sniff out Gear Night on Saturday evening, hosted by the Phoenix and Boys of Leather at Anvil, starting at 9 p.m.
On Sunday morning, whether confessing your sins or making new ones, attend Sunday Service Drag Brunch at Stacy's at Melrose. Starting at noon, doors open at 11:30. Performances by Trey, CCTV, and live music by Puff Ivory.
For full event details, including cost, gear level, and more, sniff amorypack.com/events. We hope everyone has a fantastic week and an amazing Pride Month.
Uplifting the community.
One business at a time.
It's the Business Spotlight.
From lush leaves to leather-inspired planters, there's something undeniably bold and a little bit kinky about the work of our next guest. You may have seen his designs at the Queer Summer Market, or maybe like us, you've got one of his pieces proudly displayed at home. What started as a creative outlet has bloomed into something truly original, a business that blends plant love, queer joy, and unapologetic design. Please welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Calvin with Plant Kink. Welcome.
Hi.
Let's start at the roots, pun intended there. What's the origin story behind Plant Kink?
So, a funny story. I love telling people this, but pretty much how it started is I make terrariums on the side and just got really into that and posting on Instagram. And one of my friends who owns Lula's Fine Arts and Suites off of Indian School, shout out to Lula, saw my terrariums and she was like, hey, I'm having this spring fling art event, come sell your terrariums. So I was like, okay, great. And she's okay, but the terrariums have to live outside all day and temps were about to hit 90, and I was a little worried to bring tropical plants outside, obviously, and so I had to pivot And so I was like, maybe I can make planters. So I was looking at YouTube videos, and I personally have always just loved like brutalist architecture and just like concrete. And so I was looking at ways to make like concrete planters. And I was like, okay, I'll do custom concrete planters with cacti. And I made a couple, wrapped them in twine, and I'm just like, this feels really basic to me. I'm not really excited about this. And funny story, I bought a belt off of Temu, and the belt ended up being way too small. It ended up actually being a doll belt.
I am loving this story already.
And the buckle was so cool. The details were so cool, but I felt like I was fucking scammed because it was made for a doll, not a, like an actual person. And so it was the perfect size for one of the molded pots that I made. And so I just tossed it on there and I sent it to one of my friends, John Wasson. He's a local painter here. He's incredible. And he's one of those people that I just really look up to. He's just been a great mentor to me and just honestly, just one of my best friends. And I was like, what do you think? And he goes, that's kinky. And it was just like the light bulb just went off. And I was just like, dude, that is it. Plant King ended up decking out all of my old crafting supplies. I used to like be a halfway club kid back in the day before I got sober. And so I had like leather gear. I had like chain. I had all of these supplies to pretty much do what I'm doing already. And the experience of that, like my time with collaborating with the Queer Agenda and some local drag queens, like we would just like make costumes, like that was our thing, and it was so much fun. And so now in sobriety, I have an opportunity to live vicariously through that time and still like be able to get creative and find something that works for me now. But yeah, so that's how I got started. Hopefully that made sense.
And it like, did. No, that's it's very inspiring. And so when you the first one was the Temu doll thing. So do you keep ordering from Temu? Do you make it yourself now with your skills that you've got? What, help me understand what your aesthetic is like now that you're doing this.
Totally. Yeah. So great question. So yeah, that silly Temu belt was more of just a prototype. I am a perfectionist and I want to have my hands in everything. And so basically, the pots from the ground up are made from scratch. I still have to buy like the raw material, but I buy sheets of leather, strips of genuine leather, end up cutting the strips. I have rivets. I have all the hole punches, all the tools, and basically I'll mold the concrete. I've been playing a lot with mica powders and concrete dyes and getting some really cool effects now. And I don't know, I'll get a plant and I like to always support local business. A lot of the plants that I stock in the pots that I sell are from Jungle Box, which is also another locally gay owned plant shop, which I just love. The owner's great. His name's Tim. Shauna, shout out to Shauna as well. Love her.
The name of the store again, one more time?
Jungle Box.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I actually give out discount cards with each purchase over if you go shop at Lula's. Anyways, yeah, pretty much I'll get three different colors right now. So I'm mostly working with like black leather. Occasionally red seems to sell out pretty quick. And then more of the light tan leather. And I have a specific pattern that I use now to make them feel unified. But I get bored. I try to keep things consistent, but I like to switch it up a little bit each time. And so usually I'll get a plant. I'm like, this is this plant's personality. And I visualize, okay, I think this strap is going to work. Where is she going? Who is she?
Gets and a whole story behind it.
Up from there.
I love it.
Totally, totally. And I actually, when I first started and I had a little bit more time, I actually gave each piece its own name. So I have an Opuntia cactus. They're called like bunny ears. And so one of them was like bunny is a rider and she had a little red harness on. And stuff like that. So I like to personify the plants. I think that's an exciting part of it, and just breathe even more life into like the plant and just give them a little bit more personality.
I was going to say, yeah, it imbues personality and elevates it to that next level. It's not just a plant. It's a plant with personality. And that's why the kink inspired with it matches. So it makes sense.
Totally.
So recently we ran into you at the Queer Summer Market. Well, what's it been like showing your work at a space like that?
Mixed reactions. Most are good. I get a lot of, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Lots of people looking at my stuff and just squinting and just being like, what the fuck is this? And then just hearing them just mutter to themselves, plant kink. What is that supposed to be? And I just tell them whatever you want it to be.
Right.
I would say about 95% of the people love it, but there is about a 5% that just gives me a nasty look. And I just smile and nod and let them
That's carry probably on. That same 5% that don't think that kink belongs at Pride.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And I knew that the summer market was going to be more family oriented. I was going to bring my like dirty jock strap from the photo shoot and have me like framed in like full frontal, like a whole bunch of like really insane shit that I like want to put out there. But like social media censorship, and it's getting like a little tricky. And I'm like, I have all this content, this local photographer that I just absolutely adore. His name's Kyle Shields. I've known him since my club kid days, with like the Queer Agenda and gosh, I'm trying to remember the other kind of movement that inspired this whole thing back in the day. But anyways, Kyle shot all of our models wearing custom screen printed like jock straps that I made with my logo, some like wife beaters, and had these guys holding my plants. I had one guy on a table on all fours with a ball gag and like all these cacti under him.
I love this.
And it was all shot at a local plant shop. I don't think I'm supposed to mention which plant shop it is, but it was just great.
So
it's just been in the.
Are you able to share those on social media, or have you been restricted?
Yeah. Slightly restricted. A lot of the photos are either show ass, guys in jockstraps,
right,
and also riskier photos that Instagram doesn't necessarily like.
I want to get shut down because it's a lifeline. I understand.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, we're releasing more photos. I'm trying to balance my full-time job and this. And
I can totally relate to that. If you ever need a place that can to hold uncensored images, I'm more than happy to open up the Gay PHX photo gallery and put a section in over there for you if that's what you need. Just so you know, we have also been hit by the Facebook and Instagram algorithms that are like, and all I posted were bear suit pictures. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing going on. These are at a corporate hotel bear suit photos, and yet I'm getting flagged for inappropriate right. content. I'm like, there's everyone's clothed.
Exactly. And so it's unfortunate because this is not, yes, plant kink, like kink is a part of the name. This is my.
Right. It's a brand.
Artistic. Yeah, exactly. And it's not like it's distasteful. It's not like it's some close up of some fucking guy's hole or something so tastefully done.
Yeah. It's an artistic elevation of the photos from what I've seen, I'll say. I've seen some of the things that you've shared. And that was also part of the reason why I really wanted to bring you on, because people need to know about what it is you're doing, the things that you're making, because I think it's just beautiful.
Thank you. And it's so funny because, you know, the origin of plant kink really came 3.5 years ago. I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict. And so my story involves drugs and alcohol to the point where it was fucking with my life. And I was high 3.5 years ago, manic out of my mind in a drug-induced psychosis, and I was preparing for, it was so funny, like one of my biggest dreams was to just sell at First Friday. I just wanted to sell something. I wanted to be an artist. Like I wanted to do something. So I'm frantically preparing for this made-up First Friday show that I never even booked, high out of my mind, and just completely snapped. And it was so funny because 3 years later, I get this opportunity to actually sell something that turned into now being stocked at two locations, and now I'm launching an online store, and it's something I just really enjoy doing. And all the supplies that I bought before I got sober, I hung on to, because there was still like a little part of me where I was like, I don't want to let go of this dream. I still want to sell at First Friday. And so that really helped kickstart all of this too. So that's even just a little bit more context into how this all started. And because people are asking me, like, how did you launch all this so quickly? And it's, no, I've been thinking about this. Like, I've been dreaming about this for so long.
Right.
It feels like I've already been doing it for years, but I haven't.
I can understand and relate. The same with the podcast, as far as people are like, oh, you sound like you've been doing it for years. I was like, well, I haven't, but because I've been thinking about it for years. So I completely understand. And also, I want to say thank you for sharing your story, because unfortunately, it's very common in our community that we've been through drug addiction and alcohol and substance abuse. So congratulations at making it through on the other side, and then also turning it into something productive. These are the kind of stories that we want to feature, so that other people who are in a desperate situation can hear this and go, maybe I too can change things around. Maybe I too can make that choice to stop doing this and start living. Because that kind of what I say is that if you're picking the drug, you're not picking living.
Totally. And kudos to the people who can manage it and not be an addict. Unfortunately, it's just not in my path. And I was born an addict alcoholic, and I will remain that way the rest of my life.
You start to think that now, the creativity is a crutch that came with the drug or the substance, whatever it is. I understand that.
Totally. And so now it's like I have this balance in my life and this clarity and the ability to actually stop thinking about it, but just do it. And I think that has just been a really pivotal moment for me. And Plant Kink represents so much more than just silly pots with Temu belts on them.
They're not Temu. They're custom made. So running
right.
a queer small the business isn't easy. What challenges have you faced, and how do you overcome them?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges right now is just keeping up with the demand and the shows and, you know, I'm stocked at two locations. I'm over at Dialogue Phoenix downtown, and I'm also at Lula's once again. And all of my inventory there, because it's living, there's care involved, right? So every Wednesday I have to go in, I have to water my plants, I have to maintain these things until they sell. And beyond that, replenish inventory each week. And I'm grateful that people are wanting this. But I'm also balancing, I'm a web designer and I've freelanced for the last 10 years. And it's like everything blew up all at once. My design business is just booming right now too. It's just amazing. But having to find that balance between the bread and butter of my design business and then also trying to find time to enjoy myself and do this Plant Kink thing. I'm still just trying to find that balance right now.
I can relate to that as well. Finding that balance isn't always easy. So you make each piece by hand. What's your process like, concept to finish? Do you have, you say that you have some set designs, but then you want variety because variety is the spice of life. How do you handle that?
I think my creative process is just intuitive and just go with the flow. Everything's pretty improv. If you saw my house while I was creating, you would probably faint. Most people that walk into my house are like, holy shit, what just happened? But there's something about having the materials all out in front of me where I'll just be thinking on my feet. I'm just like, wait a second, this would work with this, or what about this combination, or what about this pattern? Or I'm on Pinterest, or I'm watching something on TV and I'm inspired. I had an old vase in my house, and I was like, I haven't used this in 5 years. What can I do with this? And ended up creating these, I call them the propagation chambers, and ended up putting some into the vase and filled it up with water. And I'm just like, what if I actually created straps for these? And so then that turned into a whole thing. It's pretty random. It's pretty chaotic. But at the end of the day, when it's all wrapped up and then put out on display, it ends up working for whatever reason. So that's how it works.
That's interesting.
Sometimes I don't even know.
So it's like jazz.
But I'll still have my pattern. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm doing a dance. And it's funny because depending on the music that I'm listening to, it could affect like the designs as well, the mood that I'm in, how I'm feeling that day. It all just plays into what I'm inspired to create.
And that must be what reflects on the final product, because it comes out amazing and beautiful. Like I said, we have a piece and we love it. I look at it every day. I giggle. I love it.
And that makes me so happy, because that's the mission of playing. I think we all need reminders that life isn't that serious. And I constantly need that reminder, because I think my personality, I take everything too serious.
I can relate.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the mission is just to make people smile. It's not that deep, really. And also to unite people. This is a community project. Like, I have friends that come over and help me create and help me clean. One of them's over right now. Hi, Sean.
Shout out to Sean.
And shout out to Sean. Yeah, he's over here pumping his fist. awesome. He's one of my star models, one of the muses, Plant Kink muses. I want everyone to feel like they have a part, they have a place, and I'm excited to continue expanding and meeting new people, getting inspired by different sub-communities, even within the kink community, and it's just constantly evolving, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I cannot wait for your pup plant. I just know it's coming.
Oh,
I cannot wait. Oh, I could tell. I saw the foreshadowing. I'm following closely. I'm serious when I say that we love what you're doing. I'm not a casual follower. I've been asking you to come on here for a while because I do see what you're doing, and I think that it's amazing. I really do. What advice would you give to someone in the LGBT community who's thinking about trying to launch a creative business of their own?
Like a salesperson, you have to. Just creating art and expecting people to come to you and for you to sustain yourself in that kind of way, it's a lot harder. I think like for the folks out there in the LGBTQ community, what's really important is tapping into your own community, showing up, advocating for yourself, selling yourself. Like you have to be comfortable looking stupid in public sometimes and being vulnerable. And that's every salesperson has to deal with that, right? Just knocking on people's doors, people rejecting you. Like I've had people verbally say you at my work, and it hurts, but I have to realize that I'm not going to be everyone's 10, right?
Right.
I'm not going to be what everybody wants. And so being able to sell your work and remove that emotion, it is your baby, but it's also going to be somebody else's baby, I think helps. And also just like getting involved with your community. Dude, if you're sitting at home creating art all day, but you're not volunteering, like you're not working with local LGBTQ+ nonprofits, how are you going to expect to tap into your community and gather people who are going to support you? So my biggest advice, and one of the things that I think has really helped launch all of this, and there's no way it would have been possible, is actually the sober community. This is really what built Plant Kink, because the sober community showed up for me on that first day, and I almost sold out on my first show, and literally I cried because it was like, holy shit, I can almost pay my rent with the money I made from my art, and I never knew that would be possible. And my mom's, this is a dumb idea. You're wasting your time. You're never going to make money making art, and not a lot of people are going to like this. And
the parental,
I love my mother. Yeah,
I get like, it. No, I totally get it.
I love my mother. And it's like, regardless of if you have parents or people telling you you can't do it, find a community that loves and appreciates you and will support you in whatever you do. Because I think starting out, like, you need that little confidence boost, because making art is, you're just so vulnerable.
Right.
And it can feel like, oh my God, I'm going to make a total ass clown out of myself and everyone's going to know and everyone's going to laugh. But no, queers eat this shit up because they relate, like, and do it. Because the queer community is going to show up for you in ways that maybe the general public won't. And I think that's just been like my experience. And it, and I think it just helps reinforce like a positive, what am I trying to say here?
Well, I think I get it. So I had two earlier conversations today with different media outlets, and they don't get funding from Hollywood. They don't get investors. They don't get, the only people that support them is our community. Our community, we have to reinvest into ourselves. We have to, that's what the whole reason of this podcast is, so that people can know who to support, who is a part of our community that's trying to help make things better, help make things productive, and support them, because that's the only way we're going to thrive, is by rallying together in the community and supporting each other.
Absolutely. And just even just going to the Queer Summer Market, I mean, the support and just all of the people who showed up, it's just, I feel like it's so important. Like, we're not meant to just be isolated, making art in our rooms and never leaving.
Right. Maybe that worked back in the day when there were few artists, but now there's so many artists that you've got to be out there selling it too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
We used to have three TV networks. Now, boom, you could watch anything, anywhere, anytime. So now it's the same with art. Anybody can create art. It's more accessible than ever. So that means you've got to work it. You've got to sell it. You've got to put yourself out there more than ever before.
Totally. And that's where, like, the sales thing, like, people think that sales is the dirty car salesman, but it's more, it can be deeper than that. It's relationship building. It's community building. It's connecting people. And there's no mistake that Plank Kink has taken off as fast as it has. Like, it's only been 2.5 months, 2 months. I can't even keep track now, but it's because I make it a point to keep connecting people. Oh, okay. I'm stocked at Dialogue. And then all of a sudden I introduce two business owners and now they're running their own separate little deal with a local plant shop. And I'm working with local photographers. I'm working with models who are local, and I'm constantly looking for fresh faces. I want to make it a goal to include as many people as possible in the process, as many local businesses, and also share the wealth too. I don't believe in, you know, when I have my models are paid models. I'm not asking for any handouts. What I'm trying to do is build a community and uplift everyone around me.
Right.
Whether that's an individual or another business, like I want to be able to connect. So I think if you go in with that mindset of it's deeper than just fuck you, pay me for my art, and you're able to bring people together and in the process sell a vision, I think that's more powerful than just like posting on Instagram and being like, hey, I made this thing.
I agree.
Exactly what you said. The accessibility of art now and just the oversaturation of the market, really have to build those personal relationships and trust. And yeah.
And how can listeners support Plant Kink and follow you with your journey?
Definitely follow us on Instagram. So plantkink.co. I'm trying to work on getting the actual username Plant Kink. There's some inactive account out there.
Oh, I hate that.
using that handle, unfortunately. I know. I even asked for support. I was like, I'm verified now. Like, can you help me out? And they're like, unfortunately, no. It's plantkink.co. My website is plantkink.co as well. And I'm actually, hopefully in the next week, going to be starting to ship out plants and planters and the whole shebang. right now I have some hats and tanks. I think I have one tank left and some trucker hats. And it's, I think, just following me online. And if you're not from Phoenix, I can ship out of state. And I have a whole bunch of people from like New York and a couple of other places that want me to ship stuff out. But yeah. If you're interested in what we're making, I can definitely ship something out to you. And I think in the future, I'm going to be working on some really cool online features. I'm a web designer by trade. I'm dreaming up some pretty cool customizations where people can actually build their own online.
Oh, very fun.
That's all good. Yeah. And then this summer, if you want to come support at Lula's, I'm going to be hosting a workshop and we're going to be making kinky planters. And so that'll be fun. Little community event as well. So
when does that start?
I will definitely share those. I'll share those details once we figure everything out. The owner's over in Puerto Rico right now, so she is soaking up the rays and helping her sister move just because of the political climate right now. It's just not so friendly, but it should be, I think we're planning on the end of July. So that'll be coming up. So
then let's try and record like a little 30-second promo spot or something reminding people about that as we get closer too.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll include it in the podcast. Again, it's all about sharing what's going on. We appreciate you. We appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know you got a lot going on, so thank you very much.
No, I appreciate it. And I love what you guys are doing as well. And it's just awesome to see people who care about the community and just continue to connect and inspire other people to get out there and do stuff.
Pride isn't just a weekend.
It's a way of life.
Celebrate all month long
on the Gay PHX Podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome!
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe. It's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
Pride isn't just a weekend.
It's a way of life on the Gay PHX Podcast.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Gay PHX Podcast. Whether you are out here with us in Palm Springs or just soaking up the vibes wherever you are, we're so grateful to have you along for the ride. Huge thanks to our incredible guests this week, Jordan and Patrick from Bear Pad Art, Luke with the Arizona Roadrunners, and Calvin from Plant Kink. And special thank you to Anthony Hand, creator of Maxi LaWow. We adore you. And big hugs to Danny, David, and all of the amazing volunteers who made Tidal Wave an unforgettable event that it is. And yes, for everyone who's been asking, Tidal Wave photos are being processed and should be posted by the end of the week at gayphx.com, so stay tuned and tell your friends. And now, to you, the listener. You're not just the reason we make this podcast. You are the heartbeat of everything that we do. This show is nothing without you. Every time you hit play, every time you tell a friend, every time you repost, we grow. You're helping our city realize there's a new voice rising in Phoenix, and it belongs to all of us. We're not backed by a studio. We're community built, community powered, and community proud. So if you believe in what we're doing, don't keep it a secret. Tell your friends, share the podcast, and subscribe wherever you listen. PHX is a community project, and your voice, your support, your energy make all the difference. And now, let's talk winners. Our Cash a Ticket giveaway, thanks to Live Nation, is still going strong for one more week. We've already got some fabulous folks to celebrate. Winners include Jeron C., who won at Pocono at Newtown, at Osbar, Jeanette, Andrew H., and Greg V., and at Stacy's, Romero F. and Juniper S. both won at Sunday Service and Milkshake. Tickets are going out later this week. And finally, congratulations to Rodrigo S., winner of our D-Bags Pride Night tickets. Big love to Oliver Electric for making that giveaway possible and showing up big for Pride. And if you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out gatephx.com for event photos, our community calendar, and to tell us who we should feature next. This is your community podcast and your voice belongs here. See you next week.
We're together. where the sun is bright and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX Podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.